Enlightenment. To attain full enlightenment, we need to progress through five stages called the five Mahayana paths. These are the Mahayana path of accumulation, the Mahayana path of preparation, the Mahayana path of seeing, the Mahayana path of meditation, and the Mahayana path of no more learning. They are called paths because just as external paths lead to external destinations, so these internal paths lead us to our ultimate spiritual destination, full enlightenment. Through training in affectionate love, great compassion, and bodhicitta, eventually we reach the point where we are so familiar with bodhicitta that it arises naturally day and night. When we attain this spontaneous realization of bodhicitta, we become a bodhisattva and enter the first of the five Mahayana paths, the path of accumulation. Bodhisattvas on the path of accumulation strive to accumulate merit and wisdom by practicing the six perfections. During the meditation break, they practice mainly the first four perfections to accumulate merit and to benefit others directly. Of the many ways in which bodhisattvas help others, the most important is by teaching Dharma. By giving Dharma teachings and guiding others along spiritual paths, bodhisattvas help living beings to attain pure and lasting happiness. This is not something that can be done just by giving material aid. Towards the end of the path of accumulation, bodhisattvas attain a special realization called the concentration of the Dharma continuum. With this concentration, they can remember all the Dharma they have studied and understood in previous lives, and they never forget anything they learn in this life. They are also able to see directly the supreme emanation bodies of Buddhas and to receive teachings from them. In the meditation session, bodhisattvas on the path of accumulation emphasize the perfections of mental stabilization and wisdom. The main task of a bodhisattva on this path is to develop a union of tranquil abiding and superior seeing observing emptiness. Most bodhisattvas on the path of accumulation already have an understanding of emptiness, and since it is impossible to develop spontaneous bodhicitta without tranquil abiding, they have necessarily attained tranquil abiding. They now need to combine their understanding of emptiness with their experience of tranquil abiding through repeated analytical and placement meditation on emptiness. Eventually, they reach the point where, rather than interfering with the stability of their concentration, analysis actually enhances their concentration. For them, the concentration of tranquil abiding is like clear and still water, and the analysis of superior seeing is like a small fish that swims through the water without disturbing its tranquility. The moment a bodhisattva attains the union of tranquil abiding and superior seeing observing emptiness, he or she advances to the path of preparation. The path of preparation is so called because the bodhisattva is now preparing for a direct realization of emptiness. In the meditation break, the bodhisattva continues to engage in the perfections of giving, moral discipline, patience, and effort to benefit others and to accumulate merit. And in the meditation session, he or she continues to meditate on emptiness. At this stage, the bodhisattva's meditation on emptiness is still conceptual. That is, emptiness still appears to his or her mind mixed with a generic image. Because of this, he still has dualistic appearance. The goal of the Mahayana path of preparation is to bring the mind and its object, emptiness, closer and closer together, until eventually they mix completely. The generic image dissolves, and all dualistic appearances subside into emptiness. This is attained through repeated meditation on emptiness, with a union of tranquil abiding and superior seeing. To eradicate dualistic appearances, bodhisattvas meditate on the emptiness of the mind and the emptiness of emptiness. By engaging in these profound meditations with the wisdom of superior seeing, they are able to overcome progressively more and more subtle levels of dualistic appearance. Finally, even the most subtle dualistic appearance ceases during meditative equipoise, and the mind and emptiness mix, like water mixing with water. At this point, the mind and its object feel the same. Only emptiness is perceived. No other phenomenon, not even the mind, appears. With this attainment, the bodhisattva becomes a superior being and advances to the Mahayana path of seeing. The path of seeing is so called because on this path, emptiness is seen directly, without the interference of a generic image. Having seen ultimate truth directly, the bodhisattva's mind is in perfect accord with reality. Because he or she can no longer be deceived by appearances, the bodhisattva becomes a perfectly reliable source of refuge, a sangha jewel. On the path of seeing, the bodhisattva abandons intellectually formed delusions, which are delusions formed through incorrect reasoning or through adhering to wrong philosophical or religious views. This is because once he has directly seen emptiness, the real nature of phenomena, it is impossible for these delusions ever to arise in his mind again. At the same time as attaining the Mahayana path of seeing, the bodhisattva also attains the first of the 10 bodhisattva grounds, called very joyful. A bodhisattva on this ground attains many extraordinary qualities. Strong delusions, such as anger and jealousy, can no longer arise in his or her mind. For example, no matter how much he is provoked, he will never get angry. Moreover, at this stage, he does not experience any pain, even if someone were to cut his body into pieces. Having realized directly that both he and his body are empty of inherent existence, being merely imputed by conception, he would feel no more pain when his body was cut than he would if he saw a tree being cut. A bodhisattva on the first ground also possesses special qualities based on the number 100. For example, he or she can see 100 Buddhas in one instant, look 100 eons into the past and future, and emanate 100 bodies simultaneously. These special qualities are explained in the book Ocean of Nectar. On each of the 10 grounds, the bodhisattva attains a special experience of one of the perfections. On the first ground, he or she attains a surpassing realization of the perfection of giving. If it benefited living beings, he could give away his body and his life without the slightest regret. On the second ground, he attains a surpassing realization of the perfection of moral discipline, and does not commit a single negative action, even in his dreams. On the third ground, he attains a surpassing realization of the perfection of patience. And on the fourth, fifth, and sixth grounds, he attains surpassing realizations of the perfections of effort, mental stabilization, and wisdom, respectively. On the seventh, eighth, ninth, and tenth grounds, The Bodhisattva attains special experiences of the perfections of skillful means, prayer, power, and exalted wisdom, all of which are aspects of the perfection of wisdom. Although a Bodhisattva on the path of seeing abandons intellectually formed delusions, he cannot yet abandon innate delusions. These are the delusions we are born with, as opposed to those we acquire through exposure to incorrect systems of thought. And since they are very deeply ingrained in our mind, they are more difficult to abandon than intellectually formed illusions. When his or her meditation on emptiness becomes powerful enough to abandon the grossest level of innate delusions, the Bodhisattva advances to the path of meditation. There are 9 levels of innate delusion, from big, big to small, small. Purifying our mind of these delusions is rather like washing dirty clothes. If our clothes are very dirty, we need to wash them several times before they become completely clean. The worst dirt comes off in the first wash, but to remove the more subtle and ingrained stains, we may have to wash our clothes several times. In the same way, we cannot cleanse our mind of delusions all at once. To purify our mind completely, we need to meditate on emptiness again and again. First, we abandon the grossest delusions, and then we gradually abandon more and more subtle levels of delusion. On the 7th ground, the Bodhisattva develops a wisdom powerful enough to abandon the subtlest delusions, the small, small delusions. And on the 8th ground, he has completely abandoned all delusions, including small, small delusions. However, the Bodhisattva still has the imprints of the delusions, which remain in his or her mind rather as the smell of garlic remains in a container after the garlic itself has been removed. As mentioned before, the imprints of the delusions are the obstructions to omniscience. The Bodhisattva on the 8th ground meditates on emptiness to abandon gross obstructions to omniscience. When he has abandoned these completely, he advances to the 9th ground. On the 9th ground, he continues to meditate on emptiness to abandon the subtle obstructions to omniscience. And when these are completely abandoned, he advances to the 10th ground. At the very end of the 10th ground, the Bodhisattva enters a meditative equipoise on emptiness called Vajra-like concentration of the path of meditation, which acts as the direct antidote to the very subtle obstructions to omniscience. This concentration is also known as the exalted wisdom of the final continuum, because it is the last mind of a limited being. In the next moment, he or she has abandoned the very subtle obstructions to omniscience and very subtle dualistic appearances, and has attained the Mahayana path of no more learning and become a conqueror Buddha. It is impossible to describe all the good qualities of a Buddha. A Buddha's compassion, wisdom, and power are completely beyond conception. With nothing left to obscure his mind, he sees all phenomena throughout the universe as clearly as he sees a jewel held in the palm of his hand. Through the force of his or her compassion, a Buddha spontaneously does whatever is appropriate to benefit others. He has no need to think about what is the best way to help living beings. He naturally and effortlessly acts in the most beneficial way. Just as the sun does not need to motivate itself to radiate light and heat, but does so simply because light and heat are its very nature, so a Buddha does not need to motivate himself to benefit others, but does so simply because being beneficial is his very nature. Like the reflections of the moon that effortlessly appear in any body of still water, a Buddha's emanations spontaneously appear wherever living beings' minds are capable of perceiving them. Buddhas can emanate in any form whatsoever to help living beings. Sometimes they manifest as Buddhists, and sometimes as non-Buddhists. They can manifest as women or men, monarchs or tramps, law-abiding citizens or criminals. They can even manifest as animals, as wind or rain, or as mountains or islands. Unless we are a Buddha ourselves, we cannot possibly say who or what is an emanation of a Buddha. Of all the ways in which a Buddha helps living beings, the supreme way is by emanating as a spiritual guide. Through his or her teachings and immaculate example, an authentic spiritual guide leads his or her disciples along the spiritual path to liberation and enlightenment. If we meet a qualified Mahayana spiritual guide and put into practice everything he or she teaches, we shall definitely attain full enlightenment and become a conqueror Buddha. We shall then be in a position to repay the kindness of all living beings by liberating them from the sufferings of samsara and leading them to the supreme bliss of Buddhahood.